Federated just wants to say thanks to all local businesses in and around the state of Minnesota. You are our community partners, our neighbors, our families, and our friends. And when you need Federated, Federated is here to help. Visit federatedinsurance.com or call your local marketing representative to access trusted resources you may need during this pandemic. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
And Patrick Royce, there is plenty to be unchained about as we record this on Monday morning after an epic Vikings performance against the Colts on Sunday.
Well, I do feel that, you know, when the guys retire and they're kind of put in a place of honor, whether it's by a team or where, they usually have a great quote underneath them, right?
Yep.
You know, I think Zim gave us his yesterday after yesterday's game. We're not going to start winning until we stop losing. Yep. I thought that one really kind of, if I was playing and I heard that, I'd rather run through the door. Because who else can think up that innovative idea? And by the way, here's B. You know, Norv Turner was his guy. Norv, one of the most honored, beloved head coaches, offensive geniuses. Zim called him in and fired his ass, basically ran him out saying, I'm taking away all your power.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have the guts to do it to Gary Kubiak?
What if Gary comes to him? I could see Gary coming to him first halfway through this thing right now and being like, I've had some health issues. I don't need this. Bleep.
Yes, right. Kind of like Gardy. Yes. Like, I don't need these Tigers. I don't need, don't need this. Unbelievable. But it is incredible that this defense of Indianapolis's that was horrible against Jacksonville, Minshew went, I think he had two incompletions. He was like 21 out of 24. And this guy yesterday, he's you know, as I've the joke I've been using about mask wearing in Stearns County, you wouldn't get a DWI at that percentage. He had a passing rate most of the day that wouldn't be worth a DWI, right?
That's
he wasn't
yeah.
.0. He was 0-0. He hadn't had a drink
yeah.
when the cops stopped him, you know?
Yeah, I think until the last drive, the 10th series that Cousins played, he was 4-for-4. I think it was 1.5.
Yes. Well, Chris Long pointed this out, and I don't know if he's right or not, but I saw him say on Twitter, if you spike the ball every play, you get 39 or something. If it's all incompletion or something, I don't know what it was. Something
but no
like,
interceptions.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. If you don't throw the interceptions, but it's really sad. What's sad is there's no fans there to greet him next Sunday when he comes into the huddle for the first time.
Yeah.
You think fans might line up in the vicinities to boo him when he goes? Well, they can't. He can't even line up around there.
Well,
right?
Halftime of the Packers game here was such a lost opportunity because they would have been gloriously booed off the field.
But they would have been. It wouldn't be totally directed at him. It would have been directed at the
sure.
team. But
now you're saying
this
no,
one,
yeah,
because he is the bad guy of all time after yesterday's performance, right?
Yeah,
he's as mad as we've ever been at a quarterback. Because Ponder, we never got that mad at him. We just said,
well, because he stunk too much to get that mad at him.
He's not the answer. Seemed like a nice guy. This guy is, you know, he just comes off as a, you know, kind of a, he's a hard guy to like when he's playing okay.
Yes.
He's really hard to like when he's terrible.
Well, and as, you know, post-game Zoom yesterday, he gets up and talks about we can learn from. What can you learn from this? What's to be learned? You were awful.
We can't stop the run. We can learn that. If and on our end, we can't hold the ball you know. I think it's a stunning achievement to get sacked two games in a row because you get about 80 a year in the NFL.
Oh,
right?
To get a safety, yeah.
I mean, safety.
He's got, I guess, three consecutive
games.
Regular season games. He's managed to take a safety.
First time in 50 years in the league or something like that. I don't know. It was terrible. And I got to admit this, that I did in the fourth quarter come up with an excuse to go to the store, right? But I didn't go to the Byerly's, which is like 6/10 of a mile away. I found a different store where I'd be in the car for like 20 minutes coming back and forth.
Yep.
Just so I could see how Paul was taking it on the play-by-play.
I didn't think to do this.
I love Paul's suppressed depression. He doesn't want to come off as a complete raving, tearful homer, so he attempts to be. The suppressed part of it is the suppressed depression is really fun. It's really fun. And it was better this week than last week because I think last week you could make the excuse Aaron Rodgers against the young secondary, blah, 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 Packers, you know, and the Vikings, you know, trying to – I don't know what excuse could be possibly be made for the offense last week. But this week there was a realization to people that,
yes,
boy, this could be horrible.
Yeah. You know? Yes, this is – this now feels like 2011, the 3-13 year did.
Yeah,
like this looks like
the ass kicking. Yeah, and here's the deal: you just gave both these guys extensions.
Yep,
and the quarterback.
Yep.
So the big three of the nucleus of the operation:
mm-hmm.
Spielman, who's a genius because he got 15 draft choices. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 15?
15.
15 draft choices.
Modern day Rick.
15 draft choices. He's a genius. Zim, I don't know why we decided he was a genius.
Because he beat the Saints.
Because he beat the Saints? Okay.
That's why.
The last year?
Yep.
Okay.
In the playoff game.
Because after the horrible performance against the Packers, I don't know if he was going to be back or not.
If they had lost to the Saints, I think he gets fired or goes to Dallas.
Or coaches a year without a contract or something. I guess you can't do that.
But I think they would have let him go.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. But you give him 3 years, right?
Which is actually 4 because he's going to coach on the last year of his contract and then start the contract.
Yes.
Then start the new contract.
And has anyone now, I know Phil wants Trevor Lawrence, you know, lose for Trevor, the whole thing.
Tank for Trevor. That's a
tank for Trevor. How much does it cost you to get rid of this guy?
It is too much this offseason. It goes down the next offseason.
Yeah, but it's still got to be hitting you for like $15 million on the cap.
Keep talking. I'll find it for you.
Doesn't it? On the cap, it's got to be.
I've got it.
Hey, okay. If the cap goes down 15% or something, 10%.
Yes.
15%.
Yes.
And you got him on the books, how many people are you going to have to get rid of to get rid of him?
Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, and that's the problem. The threat is that the cap could go as low as 175, and it was a 2-something right now. All right, if they cut him, dead money and cap savings, if they cut him pre-June 1st in 2020, it's $62 million. So you're not cutting him of dead money. The next offseason, if you cut him pre-June 1st, it's $41 million. And then in 2022, if you cut him, it's $10 million as far as dead money goes.
So
yeah, I mean it's a big chunk.
So if you cut him with $62 million dead money,
that
you got it, and that goes over the life of the contract, which is what, 4 years, 3 years, 3 more years.
Yes, through 2022.
So it cost you what? your first cap hit would be $30 million, right?
Yeah, and you can't let him go the next couple of years.
No, no,
you just can't.
That'd be an expensive backup.
No, it's just, it doesn't work. But
no, and nobody's going to take him. Now, I said nobody was going to take Andrew Wiggins, and they managed to get rid of him because they took a player Golden State didn't want. But there's nobody would touch him with a 100-foot pole, would they?
It's a weird league. Now, I'm looking
not
at dead,
with the cap going down? No way.
I'm looking at dead money cap savings if they trade him pre-June 1st. Your dead money on a trade pre-June 1st of 2020 would be $31.5 million. The next year, $20 million. And then the next year, it's the same as if you cut him, it's $10
million. Okay. All right. So, but the dead money next year is $31
million.
You can't
do it. Yeah, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
And you're right. No one's going to take him.
No. No. Nobody's going to take him. That's.
But besides that, things are great.
Mm-hmm. What is his quarterback rating in GT, though? Garbage Time.
It's outstanding.
He's a GT Hall of Famer, basically.
You know what?
I said last week he was on the GT Hall of Fame watch list. No, he's in.
He's the president of the club.
He's a first ballot GT Hall of Famer.
He is fantastic. He is what makes him such a good, probably, fantasy league quarterback is the fact
even
that
even his bad games are not horrible.
He's going to give you some stats. No matter what.
Although yesterday they weren't very good.
But the Green Bay game, his statistical line looked absolutely fine and he wasn't good.
Now 2 years, but last December, even with GT against the Packers, they didn't have 100 yards, right? Didn't they have 130, I guess?
Oh, the game here around Christmas?
Yeah, when they were... they had awful. 7 first downs, and that was with 4 in GT.
Yep. You know? I'm telling you, that Saints win in the playoffs might be the worst thing to happen to them. Out of all of the things, that if they don't win that game, I think Zimmer's gone. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Spielman, but I don't know that Cousins gets extended as easily as he did if they don't win that game, too.
Now, be careful what you ask for, though. We were all hot to trot when Bud quit to bring in a new, young, offensive brainiac, Les Steckel.
Yeah.
And this game, how'd they let Stefanski get away? Let's just wait and see, okay?
Yes. I'm fine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't bother me.
No, but it was all, we had that young guy. But it is incredible to me that as sports moves to youth coaching, you know, that they got Zim and Kubiak as the brain trust, right?
Yes.
I mean it's not your modern thinkers, right? So
no, and plus it's a league that really puts a premium now, not surprisingly, on quarterback playing offense, and he's a defensive guy.
Yeah,
like he's always going to pick defense.
Who is this tight end that caught like 12 passes yesterday?
The Colts, yeah.
Millie something, who the hell is he? They couldn't cover him to save their life.
Yeah, I think that's more of a them problem than a he good problem.
Well, I don't know. It was quite the ass kicking, that's for sure. And it's probably a good year if you're going to have a year where your fans can't show up. It's probably a good year right now, right?
Oh yeah, but it's no fun for us. I want to see the fans.
Oh, I do too. And the other thing is, you know what? This doesn't hurt. The fact that everybody's getting their money back doesn't hurt them at the gate long term, because people aren't going to be walking out of there on November 20th saying, I'm dropping these tickets. I'm not going to pay through my nose for this crap.
They'll just come back
again next year when they'll just renew. Right. They'll renew. They'll renew. But the Zigmeister can't be too happy that he extended these two fellas and look at this operation for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think the Wilfs' goal is to always think that they can be competitive, and that's the problem with these first two games. It's not they've lost.
Oh, God.
It's that they're not competitive.
No.
And this whole thing is, I think Zim said, well, I can take these young cornerbacks and develop them. Because I wondered, why didn't you just sign one veteran to sort of help stabilize things, just
give these kids some help. Interesting is the Kubiak offense, what was it built around in Denver to a degree, tight ends but running the ball.
Yes.
Why doesn't Delvin get it 20 times? I mean, you give it to him once at 2nd and 8 and you panic. There's other teams. You watch Green Bay, Indianapolis yesterday. Now they got a hell of an offensive line. But, they get 2 on first down. What do they do on 2nd down? Give it to Jonathan Taylor again, right?
Yeah, who looked just fine, by the way.
Oh, God, he's great. I love him.
Your call was exactly right. There, Mac got hurt in the first game, and people said, oh, my God, he's hurt. Didn't really matter.
No, this guy's something. And he's the hit him and then he gets 3 yards guy.
I just figured it out. The Vikings defense was doing an ode to the history of Gopher football. That's what it was.
I did that, too. In fact, I sent out a picture of him. I texted out a picture of him kissing the axe, and I said, which is my favorite picture of all time, and I throw it in there whenever I possibly can.
Of course you do.
And said, Jonathan Taylor celebrates today's victory or something. And said, just so that axe would be there again. So, unbelievable.
But the Vikings defense is doing a pretty good job of, looking like Wacker's defense did in 95 or whatever it was, 93.
Yeah.
It's doing a pretty good simulation of that.
So, any there certainly are long-term doubts. But after two games, it has been verified that Belichick is the smartest guy to ever walk a sideline in football. How is he getting this out of Cam Newton? Accurate passing. I don't know. I mean, he threw for 350 or something against Seattle last night, and they were on a one-yard line, and we're going to win the game.
Here's my question about this.
How does it happen?
Why does the league allow things to fall to Belichick, though? Like, Cam Newton wasn't a...
Yeah, but when you look at the way they played football with Brady for 15 years, and
yep,
whatever the hell it was,
yep,
it was all based on accurate throwing, right?
Yes.
And little crossing patterns and Edelman. By the way, I did see that Brady does have the little white receiver down in Tampa Bay. They had to get him the little white guy to run the 8-yard pattern.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
But to me, Newton's the worst fit for that offense in history, but they just kind of changed the offense a little bit and let him throw a little further down the field and express, you know, he probably walks into their meetings with Josh McDaniels and Belichick and is learning stuff he never learned before, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
But you're right. The accuracy of the passes by Cam is astounding.
Yeah, because with Carolina, it was just flinging. I mean, he was the MVP of the league or something.
So it was before I covered, I think it was before the 2010 debacle in Foxborough between the Vikings and Patriots. I called somebody from the Patriots beat staff, and I said, what's the offense there? Like, what's it officially West Coast, blah, blah. And the guy said to me, no. He said it's called the game plan offense.
Yeah,
which is, whichever. Shockingly, we'll take what you give us, and we will also adjust to our personnel.
Well, Chili's second year, is it? They're off, was it 07 or 08? They come in here, New England, early.
06, and his first year.
06, and they're struggling.
Halloween.
Indianapolis is off to a bad start. And Chili's team looks good, right?
Patriots,
New
yeah.
England, Patriots, are having a terrible time. Really, I mean, it looks like, you know, what, you know, I'd have to look back, but they're 3-3 or something, but they're really not moving the ball. And Chili's got them going a little bit early, right? And the Vikings defense is looking good. Remember, he came out 5 wide?
Yes.
And they just killed them, and they stayed in 5 wide. They get right off the bat, they get a penalty on a kick. I think the Vikings scored right off the bat, and then they kick off and they get a penalty, and they're on the 10. It comes out 5 wide. That's the game plan. And they destroyed them with quick little passes. And I was watching that thing. I said, this is nothing you've seen from them before. This is nothing but you've seen, but Belichick looks at where the Vikings are vulnerable and says, okay,
and they can stop the run.
5 wide. Yeah, they can stop the run.
And then that's the game that led to a series of games in which everyone went basically 5 wide. And we went down, it was you, me, and Seifert to cover the Dolphins Vikings game. And we were in that baseball portion of the press box, and Brzezinski and I think Warren and Spielman are right behind us, and that's the one where Saban's picking them apart, and you start cackling about it.
Well,
and Seifert's kicking you below the table.
Yeah, but it wasn't as much. Well, like, not.
I mean, it wasn't 41 donut. Don't get me wrong.
The 41 donut.
But I'd
cackling.
Still say it was just. They're sitting behind us, and steaming, and you're like,
they don't belong in there. This is our sanctuary. The press box is our sanctuary to say whatever smart ass thing we want to say. That's the best part of this job.
Yeah.
Is making fun of guys in the press box. Jeez Louise. And if they want to be in there, that's their problem.
Just remember Seifert kicking you. Saban's got them like the Dolphins are like passing up and down the field. They don't even care about trying to run the football.
Who was
and
that?
And that was it for that
was
Vikings
that,
team.
Was that? Who was the quarterback?
For the Vikings?
No, for Miami.
Or for Miami?
Who was throwing around? Not Benny, right? Wasn't Benny.
No. It was Saban. It was one of Saban's last years with the Dolphins. I'd have to look who started. I don't even remember.
Well, the one I remember, this goes back way before that, Vinny, though, but when Lynn was excited because they had that little winning streak going, mm-hmm. and took them down to Orlando early to get ready for the, you know, the outdoor stadium in Tampa.
Yep.
And Bernsie's coaching, so 90, right? They're on a little run. They started terrible, and they're on a little run, and he brings them down there. And Vinny, remember Vinny ran for like 150 yards or something? Vinny never ran in his life, and he'd start running up the field, and there'd be nobody there, and he'd run like for 25 yards. Vinny, they got their ass kicked and went in the tank.
But I don't remember that
I
one.
I think they were 1-6 and then became 6-6 or something. These guys, you know what this team's going to need, though? They're going to need the Brad Johnson comeback.
Yes.
Because they were 1-5 after
That was with Dante, though.
Dante got hurt.
Yep.
In Carolina, when Steve Smith rode the boat, favored, you know, rode the boat down in the end zone, one of my favorite moments ever.
It was great.
And to taunt him about Love Boat.
Yep.
And then Dante ruined his knee, and Brad Johnson came in and they won like 6 in a row or something.
Yeah, they got good. But yeah. Smoot covered Steve Smith that entire game. He followed him around, and Steve Smith so thoroughly kicked his butt that Smoot made up an injury after Smith rode the boat. I'm checking on who the Dolphins quarterback was that day because you got me curious. Oh, it's Joey Harrington.
What?
26 of 42, 254 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Joey Harrington. He must have been out of Detroit by then.
Yes.
And you're right, Brad Johnson was the Vikings quarterback that day.
Wasn't Joey Harrington like the third overall pick by those idiots in Detroit?
The Dolphins, in that game, November 19th, 2006, attempted 13 rushes for 7 yards. And Joey Harrington threw 42 passes.
Oh, and what was the final?
The Vikings lost that one, too. I remember that. It was 24-20. Miami scored. Miami scored 14 points in the final quarter.
Outscored
the Vikings 14-10.
Well, if I offended Rob and whoever else was up there, I'm really sorry about it.
I'm sure you feel absolutely awful.
I wonder how, there's no cackling to be done in the press box now. So, although, yeah, there is, I suppose.
We're still there. But executives now, in most of these press boxes, have their own suites and things.
The Star Tribune had 4 guys there. I don't know if they're going to maintain that. But
I think I saw Mark Craig say he's going to cover the Houston game. I think he and Kramer are staying home for the next game, and Gessling's going to go, and maybe a columnist.
Yeah.
Zoom's changed the whole thing.
Yeah, it is. I think there are some things to be observed.
Sure.
You know, but it's...
Twins guys, man. They've gone to every single game.
Yes, they've driven it. They've gone to every game.
Phil and Lavelle switched in Chicago.
Yeah, I didn't figure that one out. I don't know. So I guess we can move on from the Vikings.
You want to go to the Twins?
Yes. And you got on this bandwagon early about Josh being an idiot, but
no, I said he is nuts.
Well, he's nuts. I would think we're going to hear today about some discipline
from the umpire comments.
The other thing that. Kicking the dirt, he was going to get fined $8,000 or something, right? $10,000.
Saying umpires don't care is going...
And by the way, there's like these new rules for the pandemic that somebody sent me.
Yeah.
Like 7 or 8 things. One of them is don't confront umpires, and they must be treated with respect and stuff. I mean, there's some... It's basically in there, not only aren't you supposed to get in their face and argue with them, you're not supposed to say anything disparaging about them.
Really?
I mean, it's like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like written in there. I'd have to see if I can find it now, but it's like this is a... Because you could tell that the umpires are, you know, we're not... Because of the no fans in the stands and everything being heard,
right?
They basically are saying, you know, they don't want you disparaging umpires, and This is as frontal as it gets.
Every season, the Olsons would gather on their dock. With all the weeds and muck, no one would go into the water, except for neighbor Larry, who would stand in there to cool off amongst the thick weeds.
Hey, neighbors. Larry.
But this season, the Olsons dropped a few Aquaside pellets into their lakefront. After just one application, the water was crystal clear. And turns out, neighbor Larry is a free spirit and a fan of skinny dipping.
Hey, neighbors.
Larry. Oh, my.
Who nude? New.
Clear your lake or pond completely. Visit aquaside.com. State permit may be required.
I was going to say, it doesn't get much more frontal than going on a Zoom and saying that they want the game to end as quickly as possible to get
home. A big test for Rocco to figure out if he can handle this guy.
This is the most anti-Rocco thing I have.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean,
this
flies in the face of everything he believes.
Yes, yeah. It's
and this guy, he's not going to back down, too.
No.
Donaldson doubled down and had no regrets.
No. Well, that was what was amazing about it.
I mean, he told Morneau that.
I can't, and it's not a big chance, but there's 8 first-round series. Mm-hmm. And Angel is suing baseball for not getting proper respect, right?
Yes.
He's going to have a crew.
Yes.
He's going to have a crew in those playoffs. And whether it's the same crew or they put more veteran umpires in there. But, you go to the Yankee Stadium, you got no chance anyway, and then you show up and Angel and Bellino are there.
Yeah.
And Bellino's going to get the plate for game 2. It was just stupid. It was just beyond stupid. And I guess we have found out that he was already ejected, right, when he kicked the dirt. The guy just didn't do it emphatically? Is that the way it sounds?
Well,
that's the way he kind of described it.
I think when he kicked the dirt to bring it the first time,
yes,
across home plate, the guy ran him. And then that's why he went back and put more dirt on home plate.
Yeah, because he thought he missed home plate.
But he said Bellino was standing there waiting for me to do something. So, quote, I gave it to him.
Yeah, which is really stupid. But
I did sort of enjoy
that's like when you see a cop on the side of the road in a speed trap, and you say, I'll show this guy, and I speed up, right?
And flip him off.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Give him the middle finger. Give him the bird.
But Bellino was waiting. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
But he didn't make it. When he threw him out, he didn't make a big gesture until the second time. If you watch the video.
Yeah.
He didn't. So he must have just said, you're out of here. Yeah. But I didn't see any gesture.
And I think that's when he said, get the F out.
The first time, get the F out of here.
Get the F out, Josh.
Okay, and then when he came back, he made the big
But Donaldson's thing, so he's wound so tight that he basically implicated all umps and then tried to undo that after. But Donaldson's whole thing, right or wrong, is it's up to people like me who are good at this to teach these guys their lesson. That's what he was saying.
You can't teach them their lesson.
I'm telling you what he was articulating.
But they have full permission to, I'm trying to think of the right word here.
Bleep you?
Yes, they have full permission to do that. He's right. They aren't going to be disciplined. You're going to be disciplined. And you got 5 more games to get your swing ready. You got 5 more days to try to avoid the Yankees in playing in Yankee Stadium. You're not going to avoid the Yankees, but playing in Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
And you're probably going to get sat for 2 games. Although with Rocco, you'd probably sit down for 2 anyway.
I was going to say he didn't play. He was in the lineup Saturday.
We got to get Ehire some more at-bats so he's sharp for the playoffs. Anyway, it was really stupid. And the fact that all these moron fans, and if you believe that this is a demonstration of fire that the Twins are lacking, you're a moron, okay? MORON, you dummy. If the Twins have never lost to the Yankees because they didn't have proper fire. They lost to the Yankees because the Yankees had better lineups and much better pitching. And that's what it is. Baseball is not the sport that is based on fire. Baseball is based on pitching it, catching it, and getting an occasional hit with the bases loaded, So.
But this is exactly who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is him.
See,
nobody can be surprised. When he went after Perky.
Yes.
What, 2000?
Yeah.
Was that 16 or something?
Yeah, whatever it was.
When he hit the long foul ball to left and Perky said, get back in the box.
Yeah.
Okay. Perky ain't the first guy to tell
the guy.
And ordinarily, they might have a back and forth, but he was going to go out to the mound and try and kick Glenn's ass, okay? That's who Josh Donaldson is, and so that's the thing about this, is he is slightly off his rocker.
And he is the Donald Trump of baseball in the fact that he obviously can't take criticism. Any hint of criticism, he can't take it, obviously.
Well, that's why he was mad at Justin.
That's why he went after Morneau, and Morneau didn't call him selfish, right?
Yeah, Provis ripped him. Justin on the telecast Friday said, I got texts from people, which I'm sure means teammates, that basically said that's not the way to do things, which is Morneau's question to him was, do you regret how you approached what
yes.
you did? And
yes.
That's when he came back.
Yeah, because he didn't call him selfish. But
he
said he'd gotten suggestions from people that he was selfish.
Yes, and it's very...
No, I don't think he was selfish. I think he was stupid.
And what he did completely flies in the face of what a lot of baseball people and Twins people believe is the right, you know. Don't do that.
No, you hit the home run. What more revenge do you need?
Now, did I enjoy the entire thing? Absolutely.
Well, you and knowing you, you enjoyed the Zoom call more than those.
I was almost in tears.
I almost started crying during the Zoom call. It to me. It's because the Twins have been zooming since the start of the training camp, right? So early July, right?
Yes.
That's the only access. This is the first good Zoom interview so far, right?
Well, yeah.
It's the first
one. It's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's the Zoom Hall of Fame.
It's the first one that had any content, you know?
Oh, it was great.
Yes.
And he came prepared to melt down.
Oh, yeah. And the reason is he can't take criticism.
He can't take criticism, yes, and he thinks that he's right, and a guy like Bellino is an absolute moron, which he might be right,
but you know, all you got to say is, I hit a home run, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, he wasn't going to say
and
that.
And by the way, that ball, that home run was hit about 200 miles an hour. Look, it was a rocket.
Look, when he suggested that these guys don't care and want the game to get done, I almost went through the computer and kissed him, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yes.
Sorry, but
he'll...
He's probably in trouble. But your point about Rocco is the most intriguing one to me. Because I think Rocco can handle Sergio. In fact, when
Rocco
Sergio got the last out on Sunday with the bases loaded against the Cubs, did you see? He did nothing.
Yeah.
He like sort of went and pumped his fist a little bit.
Well,
so he can handle Sergio.
He can handle Sergio because Sergio knows he's on...
Yep.
He's always on probation for, you know, he's had... This is the first team that's brought him back in years.
And Sergio is an excitable guy, which I think rubs them wrong, but he doesn't, I mean, for lack of a better term, Donaldson's defiant.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Sergio could get, when he was acting like an idiot after wins, could get somebody hit, you know? Could get, that's why Cruz and all of them were mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy can get you screwed. He can get you. He can have an. Umpires should be above that. If they're not above that, then Donaldson's right. Yeah, he's right. And you know, you're going to go in and play the Yankees. You're 10-1 underdogs, mm-hmm. and those guys show up. I mean, all the umpires know what he said. They're not. You'd think anybody. Yeah. You know, it's all over. You think anybody who's umpiring. Starting Tuesday or whatever it is going to say, oh, that's a shaky call. I think who should I give it to, the pitcher or Josh Donaldson or the Twins? You know,
so, yeah, no, I'm sure you're right.
I mean, that's not the reason they're going to lose, but
does Rocco talk to him and does he care? Because my initial inclination is I don't think Donaldson would care what Rocco
would
say.
Oh, I think Rocco would have.
I think he'll talk to him.
I think Rocco would summon him and say, hey. This is because Rocco hinted that he wasn't happy with the original thing, saying we need him on the field. He knows he has to be on the field.
Yes.
Well, he doesn't know he has to be on the field because he was proud of what he did, according to his quotes.
Yes, and he said that about three times.
Yeah.
And I think that he was actually more ticked off that Rocco didn't back him up, but just didn't say it.
Yeah, well, that's probably it. Yeah, Rocco was, well, I got news for him. Nobody who gets in a confrontation with an umpire is going to get backed up by Rocco, like Tom Kelly. You know, Kelly realized there's no sense in feuding with him.
Yep.
You know, you feuding with him is absolutely counterproductive.
I would have loved to have been in
Kelly
a ballpark.
Got thrown out. How many times do you think Kelly in 15 years wanted to go out and tell somebody he was a moron? 1,000?
Yeah.
And he got thrown out 5 times.
Yeah.
He's battling with him does you no good.
Being at the ballpark on Friday, though, to see Donaldson playing third base, having to stand by Bellino that entire game would have been reason enough to be at the ballpark.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
That must have been the most icy.
I'll tell you what, he's a better third baseman than I thought. He's really good.
How about the play at home plate Sunday?
Yeah, and he's tightened him up. He's tightened him up on that side of the infield because Polanco is still mediocre. But, you know, I'm not convinced that if he was playing third base after he got thrown out instead of Ehier, that he wouldn't have been smart enough to cheat a little into the hole and make that play or something, you know, because he moves around and he's aware of his surroundings. He can, you know, and plus he gets in a bat in the eighth, you know.
Yeah.
People say,
oh,
didn't have any.
It hurt him.
Yeah. Instead, you got Adrianza going up and striking out on 3 pitches.
It hurt him.
Kyle Hendrick was something to watch against this team, though, wasn't he?
What's a comparison for him?
I don't know.
Who's the comparison for
Maddox,
Kyle Hendrick? That's what I was thinking, but it seems lazy.
Maddox, except he does not have the benefit of 3 inches.
Yes.
On the outside corner. And he doesn't have quite the same movement. But I've always remembered this quote from the coach at Winthrop College when the Twins drafted Kevin Slowey in the second round. And as it turned out, Slowey didn't have a good enough breaking ball to become a great pitcher, you know, like this guy does.
Mm-hmm.
But he remember I was calling him out and saying, you know, he doesn't throw hard. Why'd the Twins draft him? He says he can throw the ball in a teacup.
Mm.
And Hendricks can throw the ball in a teacup.
That was fun to watch.
If he wants to, if you're Miguel and he wants to get in on you for a strike, he hits that exact spot. And by the time Miguel had his last at bat against him, he just wanted to strike out and leave. By the way, Miguel enters the final week of the season striking out at a rate of 494.
Yeah.
It's got to be a world record.
Mackie and I were talking about it off the air.
This one of these guys that does one of the Twins' Twitter accounts sent out the historic stats on Harmon versus Miguel at like a certain point of their career.
Yep.
And Harmon, big Jew, strikes out too much. You know, this guy is striking out like a 20-some percent more than Harmon did.
Wow.
You know, it's unbelievable. What happened to right field?
I don't know.
2 days.
I don't know.
2 days he was hitting right field. Roy the Boy, who
it's
I
like
love
an attention
him.
Span.
Roy the Boy, I love him on the broadcaster saying, that's it. He's, you know, he's starting to find it. No! He forgets. He forgets.
It's like his attention span stays engaged in the batter's box for a couple games, and then it reverts right back to where it was.
Declan, are you a movie guy?
Yes, sir.
The Guy Pearce movie where he has, where there's no short-term memory and he keeps forgetting everything. And
okay.
They also recorded it. They also did it from end to start rather than start to end. What was that in the movie?
Memento?
Memento.
Oh, yeah, Memento.
That's Miguel. He's Memento. He's Memento. He can't remember what happened 10 minutes ago. He's Memento. He could do the baseball version of Memento.
Memento with Miguel Sano.
I heard Nelson doing an interview from the dugout, how do you work this whole, how do you work with Miguel? He says, well, I remind him of right, you know, the other, you know, you can take the ball the other way. And it, well, you're doing a damn poor job, you know. Miguel, he should have said, don't blame me for this.
Yeah.
Don't blame me for a guy striking out half the time.
I wonder if Cruz has sort of just punted.
Yeah.
Just privately been like, I can't fix this.
Yeah.
Like, I can help him off the field, stay out of trouble maybe, but on the field in the batter's box, I can't help him.
And how about Mitch?
Got a catching dilemma here.
Oh, the kid's...
I don't think it's a dilemma.
You got to play the kid.
I don't think it's a
He's
dilemma.
He's better,
at all.
Way better behind the plate.
But you know what? You got three of them now.
Yeah, I know. But Avila will play once a week. But here's the thing with Mitch. His mind is so screwed up that Darvish was able to start him with two cookie breaking balls in the middle of the plate in two straight at-bats, or two at-bats, just cookie breaking balls, not a big spinner or something,
yep.
Right down, as Bert would say, right down the chute.
That's not what Bert said.
No, he had an adjective in front of chute. But both of them right there, and he's sitting on he's praying he gets a fastball instead of looking in the middle for a pitch that he can hit. I mean, they were, you know, he can't catch up with a fastball right now.
Right.
So these were two home runs, and he took them both. He's just so screwed up. It's unbelievable. And obviously, Rocco gave him a week to try to show that there's still something there. But, you got to go back to the kid, right?
Yeah, Jeffers going to have to play.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's more likely to run into a pitch and hit a home run now than Mitch is. Mitch is can't swing. I did this on Twitter. I did thorough research last night. I studied the videotape. Mitch missed his pitches by 11.3 inches, and Miguel missed his by an average of 10.6.
Royce advanced stats?
I've never seen two guys.
Can I subscribe to this?
I've never seen two guys miss the ball that far.
The Rafs. Royce advanced stats.
That's right.
Start a website.
Yeah. How many inches
do you miss a ball
your
by?
Your bat path is how far away from the pitch.
If you started that site and didn't tell people that you were making it up, you would get subscribers.
Yes, that's
veteran
true.
Baseball scribe Patrick Royce.
And then they'd have argued. Some guy said, "What did you do? Go measure the TV screen."
Love it.
Yeah, unbelievable. I love it.
Oh, so what's your idea for round one Yankees Twins rotation?
I pitch Barrios first game against Gerrit Cole because Maeda is my best pitcher, and I don't want him facing Gerrit Cole. And in a three-game series, it doesn't make any difference because game one guy is done. I mean, he's not – you can't bring him back in game three. It's three games in a row.
Right.
You know, normally I would – if it was a five-game series, I'd pitch my best pitcher in game one and hope I could run him back in game five.
Mm-hmm.
But I pitch Barrios. Barrios is throwing good. Barrios will give you a representative game, but – I think Maeda is your only hope to shut them down.
So it's him against Tanaka.
Yeah.
So it's Tanaka, Maeda, and then Pineda in game three?
Maeda is terrific, in my opinion, and he's got a better chance. And, you know, game three, everybody says, well, you know, I said this to Reavers actually earlier. Everybody says, well, if you do that, you're showing you're afraid of the Yankees. Well, yeah. Hell yes. We are afraid
of the
Yankees.
I said the same
13
thing.
13 in a row. We are afraid of the Yankees.
You, Mackey, and DePue have all said the same thing.
What?
That now you would go Barrios, Maeda, Pineda.
Yeah. And
it makes sense.
And, you know,
and
we should be afraid of the Yankees.
You're basically saying I'm not going to win game one.
Well, you could win game one if, you know.
What?
If Cole's running over to cover first and falls down and breaks his ankle or something.
If you end up in the Bronx, you're dead. So I just don't care. If you play here, I think you got a fighting chance.
You play in the Bronx, Maeda could go out and be great and give up five runs on pop flies to right field.
Right.
I mean, the number of home runs they've hit in Yankee Stadium once they got their lineup back.
Yes.
Is unbelievable. Everybody said, well, they beat them here too. Yeah, they probably will. But pop-ups aren't home runs to right center.
Right.
They're outs. You know, they're outs. They're home runs. And it's not down the line. It's in the power alley.
Mm-hmm.
Pop-ups go eight rows deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
Yankee Stadium's ridiculous.
It is. It's an unfair ballpark. But I say one thing about their right-handed hitters. They were there about 10 minutes judging those guys and said, yeah. You know what? The trouble is, Miguel would be playing there, and he'd still be trying to hit it out there where the bullpen is instead of popping it up to right field.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he would try and do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Judge just, you know, you can let the ball get it. You know, you don't have to get out front. You know, even if you can let the ball get to the middle of the plate and just pop it up.
Oh, you can be jammed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody said that they watched it when they hit five in an inning the other day.
That's serious. Five.
Two of them were pop-ups. You know,
I think they had 19 home runs in three games against Toronto.
Yes, that's like 43 what you're facing. Runs. That's what you're facing.
Oh yeah, if you go there, you're done.
Yeah, and Berríos and Maeda could pitch their arse off, and you could still get. You know, I mean, you got to strike them out. That's your only chance. If they put the ball in play to right field, it's a home run.
I just want to see what Rocco does playoff wise this time. I'm very curious to see.
What do you mean?
Well, just as far as how he uses guys, how he uses his bullpen, what he does. He doesn't. So
I'm fearful that
his lineups.
I'm fearful that if they lose game one, he'll rest a couple of starters for game two.
Pat,
we got to keep him relaxed here.
The sense of urgency from him at times is zero when everyone else would say, at least, don't you want to do this?
Here's the deal, too. If they end up, they both have the same number of losses. Twins have five left. Yankees have seven. Mm-hmm. If they end up tied, the Yankees get the home court.
Oh, for the home field because
they
the,
have the best record. It's your American League record, which is all division games.
Yep.
Twins are 21-17 with two left.
Yeah, because they haven't beat the Tigers or Royals enough.
Two left. And the Yankees are 22-14 with four left against Toronto. So what you have to do is run the table and hope the Yankees lose one, or go 4-1 and hope the Yankees lose twice to Toronto.
Right, but that means you got to be playing your guys that are going to give you a chance to win games if you're Rocco. And
yeah, might not have Donaldson for a game
or two. Or Cruz. So Cruz has they announced it as a knee, but then on the telecast, ESPN
said hamstring.
It's a hamstring.
He said hamstring, too.
Yeah.
He said hamstring. But... You gotta go all out to win five this week, and it won't be easy against Cincinnati because they got some decent pitching.
Is Bauer pitching out series?
Yeah, he'll pitch, and they're trying. They're still like there's a three teams trying to finish second in that. St. Louis,
the bottom of the National League playoff picture is great. It's completely combobulated.
Although anybody who tells me this is the way to go long term, and I heard Eduardo Perez say he likes it, you can't have 16 teams in the playoff.
I got bad news for
it's
you.
It's bull crap.
I got bad news.
You can't have 16.
In fact, before he ripped the umps, Donaldson said,
"Oh, I saw it.
I think this playoff system's a fraud."
I agree with
that. But the best part was, pause. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, right. And it's just your opinion. All the umpires
don't care.
Stink.
Oh, wow. Guardy.
You know what? He's probably not feeling his best. But bottom line, I think he wasn't coming back anyway. That probably Al Avila probably told him that when they had that discussion.
Sure.
And he said, you know, you're not coming back. And he said, well, then I think I'll go home now. But I think the other thing is he just got sick of getting his ass kicked. I mean, I exchanged texts with Torrey trying to get a quote from him. And by the time he texted me back that he was available, I was later. But I said, he says, what's with Guardy? I said, I think bottom line, he's sick of getting his ass kicked. I said, you guys spoiled him. 2009, 2000, 2002 to 2010, six division titles, tied for the division, you know, another year, seven of the 9 years, you know, you're in the middle of it, you're winning, and the last seven, four here and three there, he's under 500 now as a manager, below 500 because the Twins decided to have no pitching.
Yep.
And then he goes there, and he knew what he was getting into when he goes there. But I'm happy for him. He's got plenty of money in the bank.
Yeah, I was just concerned when the news came out that something was wrong.
Yeah, so. I think that was I might be wrong, but you know
that was my first thought.
He said he had a stomach virus.
Yeah, well, he missed three games here.
Yeah, Yeah, when he was here.
Yeah, yeah. He got sick, I think, on a Friday or Saturday and then missed the rest of the series.
He did show up the one day, though, and exchanged lineup cards with Toby, right?
That was at the start of the series.
Yeah, that was
because that was a five-game series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Doubleheader on Friday and then game Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And he missed. I think he got sick on Saturday, went into the clubhouse, and didn't come back for the last two or three.
Yeah, well, it's his winning percentage with the Tigers is .349.
Who got it worse at the end of their Twins managerial tenure? TK with what happened in the 90s or Gardy with what happened after 2010?
TK because it lasted longer. But TK was 8 years without pitching. But I'd say Gardy because they were more inept. I mean, even the turnaround team, Kelly's 2000 team that when he was going to get fired by Clouser and Poland wouldn't let him. And that team was 69-93. And when TK said, I see some hope here, and then the next year they were, good.
Right.
But, like 96, they would have won if Puck hadn't gone blind, because they wouldn't have won the division, but they would have won more than they lost because, Molitor and Knobloch. Puck would have knocked in 160 runs.
Yep.
And they didn't really give up. Well, Terry kind of gave up in 94 when he traded, made all those goofy trades. Scott Erickson for
Klingenbeck
and all that crap. But in 96, they were still trying. And then the last 4 years of that decade, they stopped trying. So anyway, I'd say TK had it a little harder because it lasted longer. But Gardy... I'd say Gardy had no chance with that collection.
Starting in 2011,
Cleet Thomas, go out there and get him in center, boy. Let's go. Come on. Let's.
Hey, last thing. You brought up the name of Chris Clouser.
Yes.
I see you now finally saw the light on the outdoor ball game that I wanted so badly by where Met Stadium was.
Porta Potty Park, which I named it. I named it Porta Potty Park, and it was a ridiculous... It was a ridiculous idea.
Yes.
And it was going to be played in September, and on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they probably would have had 6,000 people.
Yes.
But it would have, 20 years later, it would have been nice to have it as a memory, wouldn't it?
To
have it.
At that time, there was no hope for outdoor baseball.
No.
And he was going to play it in the parking lot and build a temporary stadium, right?
That field, out in the pasture on the other side of the road was still a pasture.
Yeah.
They were going to build it not on the parking lot.
Oh, I thought they were going to go in the...
No, Kelly Farm, which was not built yet. Now there's motels and stuff.
Okay.
It was east of the Mall of America.
Anyway, I'm just glad to see that you've embraced the goofiness of this idea.
Yes, well, it was goofy. Well, St. Peter's the one who reminded me, and I think he thought I was going to go like full barrel. This was the dumbest thing of all time. Not that he cared either way.
Right.
And I tried to track down Clouser, and I couldn't. But nobody had his number. The Twins didn't have his
number.
Where
is he now?
I don't know. You look up his thing. He was the president of the Association of Tennis Players, which is the pro.
Yeah.
Pro tennis in the world.
No, I did not know that.
He was the president.
I remember as a Burger King guy when he got the job.
Yeah, Burger King. That didn't go too well. But my favorite Clouser moment is, for some reason, I was covering the baseball winter meetings in Boston that year at the Sheraton.
Mm-hmm.
The year of, he quit in December, and this is the next year. He quit in December of 2000, December 12th. This is the next year. The winter meetings are at the Sheraton in 2001. And... all the baseball people are there, and I'm covering it. I don't know why I went. The baseball writer must not want to go, or we were between baseball writers or something. And Clouser comes walking in, and he's looking around, and I said, what's going on here? And I said, I thought you were coming to get a new executive position. It's the baseball winter meetings. He says, oh, Jesus.
Really?
Yeah, he just happened to walk in, so I got a... like a 15-inch interview with him.
Oh, man.
But he just walked into the baseball winter meetings. I don't think it was the same year because he didn't quit till December 12th. So it had to be the next year, 2001, the winter meetings in Boston.
Do you know what?
He was a good-natured guy, but he just was goofy.
The Star Tribune needs to bring back the old where are they now and start with Clouser and David Kahn.
Yes, yeah. Kahn is in Paris with a... He started a team in Paris.
We
got to
hear from these guys.
Oh yeah, Kahn was. Yeah, Clauser only had a 7-month run. The guys who were working there at that time don't remember him with the humor that we do, because he had no idea. He was on the board of directors because he was a buddy of Carl's. I think he bought one of Carl's old houses or something.
Yeah,
and he was on the board of directors, but he had no hint. He was a tennis player at the University of Missouri, and he had no hint. But there's also, his bio says something about a real estate development in Cabo, too. So that he was on some. He's done well. He's had a bunch of executives.
I'm sure he's doing just fine financially.
Yeah, but I couldn't find him. I wanted to get a couple of quotes at him, but it would have been something for us to remember.
Oh, yeah. I still love the idea. I love it. Absolutely love it.
In fact, even with Target Field, they should have a temporary one.
Yeah, let's go out there.
But it is funny. The baseball said, we never use temporary stadiums. Now they'll build one any damn
place.
They're going
to play in Dyersville.
Yeah, they're going to play in the cornfield. They had a couple on Army bases.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, Little League fields. They've been to Williamsport.
Yeah, they lie.
That's shocking.
No, I think, it was going to cost $1 million. I think Carl might have said,
I ain't doing that.
Might have called up baseball and said, tell him he can't do it. Anyway.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Cam Newton, man. I can't believe it. Belichick, greatest ever.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.